أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Continuing with our look at Juz Amma, today we will look at Surah number 94, which is Surah Al-Inshirah, or Surah Al-Shahr, which is basically expansion or relief. As I mentioned when we did Surah Al-Duha, these two are a pair and gave the Prophet divine relief and consolation. The Prophet used to call both these surahs Qurrat al-Ain, the coolness of the eyes. And he used to say, put them in every salah. So the focus is divine relief to the Prophet for the hardship in conveying the prophetic message, which could afford no complacency. Another interesting fact about it is that the surah is called Al-Sharh, which is literally expansion or to clarify something. Now, the expansion of the chest is a phrase used to connote breathing easily when you see the one that you love. Here, it is to breathe easily and inhale the fragrance of divine truth in totality. And we've divided the surah into two sections. The first looks at three questions, and then the second section at three responsibilities. So it begins with three questions directed at the Prophet. So the first one is, Alam nashrah laka sadrak. Did we not expand for you your chest? Sharh is to expand on something that was difficult. In other words, to clarify something. Chest here has an allegorical meaning. In Surah Taha, we see the dua of Prophet Musa when he is asked to go to Fir'aun. He says, Rabbi shrah li sadri, which is expand my chest for me. And maybe it alludes to saying the ability to be able to take criticism and harshness, the ability to carry the heavy word of the Qur'an, which Allah says if it was revealed on a mountain, it would shatter. Akin to a mountain climber, in order to reach the summit, he has to have two things simultaneously, sufficient lung capacity and the ability to lift his equipment off his back. We find in Surah Al-An'am, ayah 125, Allah says, فَمَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ أَنْ يَهْدِيَهُ يَشْرَحْ صَدْرَهُ لِلْأَسْلَامِ وَمَنْ يُرِدْ أَنْ يُذِلَّهُ يَجْعَلْ صَدْرَهُ ضَيِّقًا حَرَجًا كَأَنَّمَا يَسَّعَدُ فِي السَّمَاءِ. Whomsoever Allah desires to guide, he expands his chest to Islam. And whomsoever he desires to lead astray, he makes his chest narrow and straightened as if he were ascending to the sky. And this phrase of expanding the chest is something that means that one has either an expansive or a closed heart. People show their affection for others by embracing them or greeting them with open arms and opening their hearts to them. And as I mentioned in the beginning, Arabic uses an expansive chest to connote that a person breathes comfortably and feels happy when they see someone they love. So with this introduction in mind, let's go a little further. Allah says, وَوَضَعْنَا أَنْكَ وِزْرَكَ, and ease your burden. وَضَع is to take something from a higher place and put it down. Wizr is a great burden, something so heavy that it might crush you. As the surah continues, Alladhi ankadha dhahrak, that was breaking your back, or which weighed upon your back. And quite a few things come to mind. Searching for the truth, as we saw in Surah Al-Dhuha, the insults of the society around him, the pause in revelation, being the final messenger and being told you're only a reminder, as we saw in Surah Al-Ghashiyah. The Prophet's only longing was to deliver the message of the Qur'an and for it to be elevated and spread wide. And then, وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ, and elevated in dignity and spread wide the message, the dhikr. رَفَعَ is to raise high. Dhikr is remembrance on the tongue and remembrance of the heart. As far as the Prophet is concerned, it may refer to Adhan, where his name is mentioned along with Allah. It could also refer to the Salawat. Most Mufassireen translate this as, did we not elevate you to great fame and renown? But Dhikr is also the name of the Qur'an. And the Prophet never longed to be famous or achieve any high social standing. For him, he only wished that his Dhikr, the message of the book, was elevated, dignified, and spread far and wide. But then his life too is in itself a remembrance of divinity. And now we look at the three conclusions or three responsibilities. The first one, فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْأُسْرِ يُسْرًا إِنَّ مَعَ الْأُسْرِ يُسْرًا. Indeed, hardship is co-joined with ease. And again, indeed, hardship is co-joined with ease. Know that every difficulty is accompanied by ease. So the message is that adversity, pain and suffering should not make one disappointed or hopeless, because they will benefit you, and the gain is not reserved only for the day of judgment, but will be apparent even in this world. Because difficulty gives birth to positive effects in one's being and brings about ease and comfort. The word ma'a combines two things together. Yusr is difficult things or difficult situations. Yusran alludes to amazing ease. And then the second responsibility. After completing a task, strive towards another. The ayah says, فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْسَبْ. When you have completed one task, strive towards another. فَرَغَ is to complete or bring to an end. Every time we're relieved of one responsibility, we should expect that another one is on its way. It is human nature to want a break between challenges. But the ayah reminds us not to assume that the task is over. In other words, no complacency. In the Sermon of the Muttaqeen from Nahj al-Balagha, Imam Ali says about those who are God-conscious, they are not satisfied with their meager good acts. They do not regard their major acts as great. They always blame themselves and are afraid of their deeds. When any one of them is spoken of highly, he says, I know myself better than others, and my Rabb knows better than I know. Ilahi, do not deal with me according to what they say. Make me better than what they think of me, and forgive me the shortcomings of which they do not know. And many, many places in Nahj al-Balagha, we see that the God-conscious, the muttaqeen, are co-joined with wajal, which is distress, anxiety and fear. They're not discontented, but they're not complacent. They're always dissatisfied with their good deeds and don't consider them sufficient. Their thirst for knowledge is limitless. And thus, this is the message of this ayah. Don't become complacent once you have finished a particular task. Prepare yourself for another. And then the final responsibility, وَإِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ فَارْغَبْ. And make your Rabb your exclusive object of longing. Raghiba means to be enamored with. And the Prophet did this beautifully. Thus his names Muddathir and Muzammil. In Surah Al-Muddathir we find him being told, during the day, talk to people, remind them. And then during the night, talk to divinity. If I paraphrase it, when you finish your task during the day, come and talk to me. That is, come and talk to divinity. So the message of the surah, we can reminisce about our past and remind ourselves of the many times that Allah has helped us. Therefore, when we experience difficulty of hardship, instead of losing hope, we should strive to help ourselves and others. The surah reminds us of our social responsibility to perform our duties as best as we can, avoid becoming hopeless and tired, and stop at what we're doing because saying things like, I have done enough, there is nothing more I can do. It's about carrying on, because working in His way has no limit. The more we persevere, the path becomes wider, because we're eagerly moving towards He whom we love with even greater strength and motivation. May Allah give us the tawfiq to be of those who make Allah our sole object of longing. فَتَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ.